The dollar adds muscle.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Does your wallet feel any stronger this morning? Like maybe the dollars in it have been doing bench presses? Today, the dollar hit a six-week high against the euro. The main reason, investors think the new Federal Reserve chairman will keep on hiking interest rates, and that gives the dollar more appeal. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke makes his first appearance before Congress on Wednesday. Tomorrow, a Senate panel considers two other possible Fed appointees. One is a well-regarded professor. The other's kind of an unknown, and that's making some people nervous. Marketplace's Scott Tong has more.
35-year-old Kevin Warsh is a lawyer and former investment banker, now an economic advisor to President Bush.
But he does not possess the qualifications that are needed to be a governor at the Federal Reserve.
Former Fed Vice President Preston Martin says board members need broad experience on a range of issues, not just interest rates.
International financial matters, the regulation of commercial banks and other kinds of financial institutions, and crisis management.
Some skeptics note Warsh would be the third former Bush advisor on the board. Politics? Will the Fed, say, step on the gas just in time for Election Day? Not how it works, says former Fed economist Kevin Hassett.
If the president did try to stack it and a bunch of political hacks showed up, those people would very rapidly be ignored by the other members of the committee.
Other members long considered non-ideological. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Ah, love. It's in the cubicle next to yours. It's at the fax machine. It's in the corner office. A new survey from CareerBuilder.com finds half of Americans have dated someone they work with. 21% say they've had a relationship with their boss. That one seems high to me, but that's what people said. 10% say they've been asked to leave a job once the romance ended. Maybe it's no coincidence that Valentine's Day is about the same time as Ben Franklin's birthday. For the first time this year, the average American will spend more than $100 on the love holiday. From the Cupid desk, here's Kurt Nickisch.
Love may be a two-way street, but on Valentine's Day, men have to pay more at the toll booth. The National Retail Federation says men will spend $135 on average on their sweetheart, almost double that of women. Ads like this play off men's romantic angst.
And you know what comes right after Valentine's Day? Valentine's night.
Retailers hope to have a happy morning after, too. They've taken to praying to St. Valentine to lift them out of their post-Christmas slump. Carol Schroeder runs a specialty gift shop in Wisconsin. Nowadays, she markets most anything for Valentine's Day.
Red fondue pots, red tea kettles, red casseroles. There's a wide range of gifts that isn't covered by the traditional champagne and chocolates and bubble bath scenario.
Plus, those items don't have to be sold on clearance afterwards. I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
On Wall Street yesterday, stocks had on Friday, they had an afternoon rally. The Dow closed up 35 points to 10,919. The S&P 500 climbed 3 to 1266, and the NASDAQ was up 6 points. This is Marketplace. National Hockey League players arrive in Turin, Italy this week for the Olympics, but a gambling investigation threatens to overshadow the tournament, and the NHL's already recovering from a lockout. Here's Tess Figlin.
Coming into this season, there were serious questions about whether fans would return to the NHL, but in November and December, the league drew record attendance, thanks in part to massive marketing campaigns. Then last week, prosecutors charged a Phoenix Coyotes assistant coach with conspiracy and money laundering in what authorities say was a gambling ring tied to mob figures. Newspaper reports named several high-profile NHL players as being involved, and more charges are possible. But sports economist Ken Shropshire says the league's comeback isn't in the penalty box yet.
I don't think there's going to be much of an impact on the game unless there's evidence that there's gambling on the sport itself.
Right now, the investigation involves more than $1.7 million in wagers on college and pro sports games, but not hockey. I'm Tess Vigeland for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, celebrating National Heart Month by encouraging Americans to take action to reduce their risk of heart disease. Medtronic, on the web at Medtronic.com. Conversations from the Corner Office is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. because smart people strategies are smart business strategies. SHRM.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
You know how some pro athletes are traded to other teams for, say, a third-round draft pick? Well, I guess they do that with sportscasters, too. Al Michaels is moving from ABC to NBC in exchange for, among other things, an 80-year-old cartoon rabbit. NBC or Disney lost the rights to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit many decades ago. I asked Newsweek's Alan Sloan if this deal was strictly sentimental.
This is a classic business transaction, Scott. I'm surprised you're not taking this seriously. These are two enormous companies exchanging properties. Here you sit and talk about sentiment. You've got a company that has a cartoon character that it has no use for, and there's a sportscaster named Al Michaels that it wants. So you're having a transaction. I just wonder how many investment bankers and fees it took.
but during these kinds of deals, there are some tax implications that might be important to consider.
Right. No, I, in fact, went out and examined how this transaction would work, because normally when you have companies that swap things, there's no tax on the deal. So I figured here you have two entertainment characters. You have Al Michaels and you have Oswald the Rabbit. And I thought possibly there might be tax implications to the transaction, but it turns out there aren't, because according to the guru whom I consulted, these properties are not really the same thing. Al Michaels' contract is really not the same thing as Oswald the Rabbit. So both companies may have to report a gain on the transaction. This is a wonderful transaction, and here you are treating it as a Mickey Mouse deal.
Well, actually, the reason that Mickey Mouse was created by Walt Disney was he lost the rights to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
That's right. And so I'm guessing that might have been lucky for Walt Disney, because based on what I've seen of Oswald the Rabbit, I suspect Mickey the Mouse was a better character. I mean, when is the last Oswald cartoon that you saw, Scott?
So could there be any tax loophole that they could find with this?
Well, I had actually thought that because each company is buying an asset, one company is buying Oswald the Rabbit and the other one is buying Al Michaels, that if you set this up properly, both companies could depreciate what they were buying and deduct it from their tax returns. But apparently that idea was so goofy that it would not fly.
I'm trying to keep up with the number of Disney characters that you've mentioned already.
Well, I mean, the other possibility is that you could say that the transaction is so far underwater, we need the Little Mermaid to figure it out. I mean, feel free to throw that in.
Now, I'm going to let you you swim around in those puns this morning. So who got the better end of the deal here?
Well, that's a question I guess I just have to duck.
Alan Sloan is with Newsweek in Los Angeles. I'm Scott Jagow.
American Public Media.
In economics, it's called a
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.